Did you know that 71% of kids between the ages of 12 and 17 access the internet and use the internet on a daily basis? Hi, my name is Alicia Griffiths. I'm the owner of Breakaway Tuition in Mittagong. And today, in today's podcast, we're up to podcast number 12, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about internet safety and how we need to model our behavior correctly for our kids. So I have done a bit on internet safety before for Internet Safety Day in February, but I thought that I'd touch on this a little bit further. Just some things that have been coming through that are quite interesting to have a look on in terms of online and what things is allowed and not allowed nowadays. So this is a bit of education for, you know, obviously parents who listen to this podcast, as well as ways in which that we can make sure we are helping our kids to navigate this whole online world that we're currently living in. So, like I said at the beginning, 71% of kids between the ages of 12 and 17 use internet. Now, these statistics are staggering. Well, they are, but they're not. So the other statistics are 41% of kids between the ages of 3 to 5 use the internet, and 57% of kids between 6 and 11 years of age. Now, obviously, schools are now making use of technology and the internet in ways that is unprecedented that we've never seen before. So it does make sense as to why there are so many kids accessing the internet and internet content. And sometimes as parents, we just aren't too sure on how to like police the way that our kids are using the technology, and we're also not setting them up to use it correctly. So there's a couple of things that I want you to think about, and I put this question up online earlier today actually, and it was, do you know what your kids are up to when they're using the internet or online? Do you know what your kids are saying on Facebook and Instagram or Snapchat or WhatsApp? Do you know who they're talking to? Do you know what they're posting? Do you know what they're putting on blogs and things even? It's a whole new world out there. The internet, we only got myself at home when I was in year 9, so I was already I might have been a little bit earlier, but I didn't start really using it until I was in year 9. So I had a lot of my childhood without technology, which most of us parents will have. You know, this is brand new for us too, and so the generation that's coming through now will be one of the first generations to only ever have used the internet. Now, it's really interesting because, I mean, I haven't taught in schools now for a few years, but when I even was first teaching in 2010 and 2011, I had students that were fascinated, and I mean absolutely fascinated, by the fact that I didn't have internet when I was a kid. They were absolutely blown away by that. They were also blown away by one of the TVs that were in our room once. It was one of the old TVs with the back on them, and the kid asked me what it was. So completely different. And it never occurred to me before, though, that we have kids that just don't know anything else. And there was another thing that happened when I was teaching history in particular for year 7. And again, this was 2011, 2012. And these kids didn't know how to use a book. They were in the library. I said to them that they needed to find 3 books and I think it was 2 websites for their information. and they didn't know how to use a book. They were looking in the table of contents, and I said, well, that's not going to help you. You want to look at the index. They had no idea what an index was. They had no idea how to find that book in the library once they'd put in like the search terms they were looking for. So again, like, it's a completely different kettle of fish that we're up against nowadays, but it's really important. And I can't express how important it is. It's really, really important that we are keeping track of what our kids are doing online. I don't care if your kid is 18 years old. They're still your kid. And we'd hope at 18 that they're making the right choices online and they're behaving appropriately online. So this is the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about today, was behaving appropriately. So there's whole range of laws that have been brought out, and they're called defamation laws. This comes directly from Slater and Gordon, and I thought that it was particularly important for to discuss in a forum like this, but also for you as parents to bring up with your kids at home too, because the laws are very, very clear. And basically, the defamation law is when a person or a small business can seek damages for the loss of reputation due to someone saying defamatory things. Now, it can be saying them, it can be spoken, it can be recorded, it can be written. And these laws are put in place so that a business owner and individuals, person, people, aren't going to be faced with a loss of reputation or professional reputation from what somebody's opinion is. Now, it's a really fine line, because there is some stuff about if it's an honest opinion, but the idea is that if your comment can bring down somebody and then they're going to either lose money or they're going to lose who they are, what they've built up for themselves, then you can be sued. Now, obviously, when it comes to our kids, there are lots of different things that are black and white here and there all over the place as to how this stands up for our kids. But I think that it's really important that as parents we bring this up with our kids, because it goes into bullying and harassment. It goes into how are we bringing our kids up in this online environment if we can see that they're bringing people down all the time. And it's also about protecting them, because the individual is allowed to seek for financial and other losses resulting from the defamatory publication of any kind. And again, text message, email, spoken, all of that type of thing can come back to haunt your kids now. And the thing that you're wanting to think about is that it's a law, it's in place. It's the same as bullying and harassment. It is now a police issue. If you have been through that with your child, or your child has been through that, schools are now saying that if your child is being affected by cyberbullying and, you know, all of that sort of thing, to go to the police, because it's a police issue, because it's law, because it is something put in place to protect individuals and their businesses. Now, it sounds really scary, I know, and my goodness, why is a tutor in place putting, you know, defamation? But like I'd said, I think that as a parent, you need to know. And you should know, like, there's lots of Facebook groups now that will take down comments, particularly about other businesses and other people, for that reason, so that there's no loss and damage, and they'll say that it's because of defamation and all of that sort of thing. So we're seeing it more and more, but I think that it's really important that we have that chat to our kids and even ourselves, so that we're all protected. But our kids are protected. Our kids are going to be using this technology forever in a day, and the technology is just getting so much smarter, and we're using it so much more. Like, we're using it for TV, we're using it on our phones, we're using it on our computers, we're using it to turn the lights off, we're using it to change the color of our light globes to get inside our front doors. I mean, I don't know if anyone here has a super techie house. I don't. Still need a key to get in, but I know that technology now has all of these capabilities. And whilst it is really exciting, we can't get away from that. We can't turn that technology off. And if you are not having these honest conversations with your children about the impact that any words say, but the impact that online has on individuals as well, then, you know, I'm not here to say whether your parenting skills are good or bad, but it's something that we really do need to equip our children to understand. So I think a lot of it comes down to our own modeling as well. So if our kids see us online putting horrible comments or saying horrible things about other people all the time, then they're going to model that behavior. As much as it's uncomfortable for us to have that discussion, and, you know, it really is true, you know. If I go to the fridge and decide I want to have a soft drink for breakfast, then my two-year-old daughter is going to want to go to the fridge and have a soft drink for breakfast. And she does. Not that I'm going to drink a soft drink for breakfast, but, and she does, and she will. She follows, she copies, they soak it all in, even when we don't want to admit that as parents. So that was the first thing I wanted to talk about. You can find stacks of stuff about defamation online. Like I said, that was from Slater and Gordon, but there's lots and lots of stuff available. But there's a few other things that I want to have a chat to you about today in terms of online. Now, there's lots and lots of different sites available for you as well and to support you as parents. There is now the eSafety Government website, which is the Office of the eSafety Commission. There, it's like an online course for parents telling you how to assist your kids and build resilience to this online world. There is raisingchildren.net.au. They've got some really good stuff about online. The same as bullyingnoway.gov.au. They have some great stuff online as well. I'm going to go through a little bit of that in the next section now. But I really encourage you to have an honest reflection on yourself and the way that you use technology, and also start arming yourself and having those conversations with your kids so that we can make sure that they're safe. Now, the other thing that I wanted you to think about is that our kids don't realize what they post online in a public forum is something that will follow them and follow them for life. You can delete some of the things, but employers now are looking it up on a search engine to see what types of people they're employing. You can look at public profile views on Facebook. You can see images if you haven't locked down your Facebook page properly. You can see all of these things to find out who they're going to work with. And your kids are in this world where if they're not careful about what they're posting today, even if they're just 13 years old, in 10 years time, when they're going for a job, an employer can still find that information online, and there are search engines that can find that information online. So that's something that you should be talking to your kids about as well. It's not like when we speak face to face with someone and your comments might stay with them for a period of time, but then we sort of are able to move on from that. If they're written in black and white, they're there for good. So the eSafety Commission talks about setting rules for our kids and, again, behavior modeling. So I think that it's really important to have a think about what rules you might set for your children and technology, and there's lots and lots of things around this. One thing that I'm really passionate about is making sure that your kids aren't taking phones or don't have internet access within their bedrooms. Now, not only does that interfere with your I can't even remember what it's called, the production of melatonin, because the blue light on these devices keep us awake, it means that our sleep is going to be interrupted and everything else. There's also starting to have a bit more research done on electromagnetic waves that these devices give out as well. So that's something to consider too. Obviously, if we're plugged into these devices all the time, we can see that people get quite agitated and angry from doing that. Even something like a computer game can have that sort of effect. So I would really, really recommend that you don't let your kids have these things in their room at least an hour and a half before they're going to go to sleep. You know, you don't want your kid to have something binging under their pillow all night with all of these notifications flashing and everything that is vying for your attention. There has also, which is really scary, but there's been some things come up in the news about people dying from sleeping with their phone charging under their pillow. Now, there was something in the news about this the other day, and it's horrific, and it's really, really sad. But I think that it's something that we need to be aware of. Obviously, if your device is charging, it's heating up. So you want to make sure that you're protecting yourself in that way. But anyway, some of these things from the eSafety Commission are similar to that. So keeping an area that can be supervised. So a busy area, out in your lounge room, that's where you're going to use your internet devices and your computers and do your homework and those types of things. And it's so that you as a parent can watch what your children are doing as well. The second thing was to stay engaged with what they're actually doing online. Now, you can do this in several ways. I know lots of parents will add, like if it's Facebook or Instagram, they'll add their kids to their own profiles so that they can see what they're doing. I've heard some people, they need to know their password so that you can access that. Some people will be in two minds. I read something just a little bit earlier that said that you want your kids to trust you, so you shouldn't be asking for those. But I really think that anything with a chat feature where your kids can chat to people and other people can contact them via chat, I do think that you want to have the password access to make it clear that you're not snooping on them, that you're just trying to protect them. Thinking about social media readiness. Now, this is a really interesting point. Social media, most of them don't let you join unless you're 13. We all know you can decide what age you are though, so that's not always a foolproof way to put in. But is your kid savvy enough? Are they going to protect themselves? Do they know how to use those devices in a safe manner? That's what you're thinking about in terms of social media readiness. So social media readiness can also go into do they know what's appropriate content to post? Do they know that if they say recommendations, that those recommendations are then attached to their profiles as well for as long as they're a member of that community? Do they know that there are ways for things to be put on a public forum and there are ways for it to be privately locked down? So it's all of that sort of thing that you're thinking about in terms of social media readiness. The next one is encouraging respect and empathy and teaching them to avoid sharing and posting that may upset others. Now, this is a big one, and I see a lot of people that are keyboard warriors, don't we all? We all see them, but they have this mentality that because they're behind a screen and behind a computer, that they can say whatever they like about anyone, to anyone, for whatever reason. And I don't know, I think that it is a massive problem because we have not had the internet and technology to this degree before. So before, if we were going to say something against someone else and yada, 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 you can only say it to their face, Or you can call them on the telephone with the telephone plugged in, you know, but we couldn't do it in a way where we can get at someone instantly. We can get at them in their face, online, behind a screen, and we think that we can say whatever we want. So I really think that we want to make sure that you're teaching your kids well about respecting individuals and businesses and other people, creating empathy for other people and their situations, but also not to share and post things that are quite upsetting to other people. Again, that comes down to modeling. So always remember that what I do online is what my child is going to see is okay to do as well. The other things that they've got here are like start to build resistance and teaching that there are different ways to deal with different materials that you see. You know, show them the block feature. Tell them it's okay to block someone. It's okay to unlike someone. It's okay to not follow their page. It's, you know, I think as well like Instagram where we find kids following celebrities all the time. We need to have the chat to them about that this is just the online realm. That's not who they really are. They don't always look that gorgeous and that skinny and yada yada yada, and they've probably put all of these filters on for that. That's a conversation in itself that's quite heavy, but it's something that we do need to tell our kids and make sure that they're aware of, that there is an online world and there is everyday life as well, and we need to live our everyday life and not worry about what things we're being constantly bombarded with online. Now, the other couple of things that eSafety recommend is the use of parental control. So there's lots of things that you can do as a parent to control what your kids are able to access on the internet. And then, like I'd said before, adding them as a friend and knowing their passwords. Now, reinforcing as well the importance of protecting their personal information and privacy is a really big one. Like I'd mentioned earlier, what we put online, it's not going to disappear. We want our kids to have the best job prospects that they can possibly have in 10 years' time. So making sure that they are understanding that, but they're understanding the use of social media and how to use it responsibly. Also making sure that they think before they post. We don't always think before we post. But those things, the massive things about the social media, the massive, massive things about making sure they're ready, being empathetic towards others, posting things that are relevant, that aren't negative, that are respectful, and that there is a responsibility with the use of social media. You know, as a parent, you're not going to go and make, well, I'd hope you're not going to go and make a fake profile and say this or that about other people, hiding behind some fake thing that you've done online, because then you've let your child know that that is an okay thing to do, and it's not. So the other two websites that I said were Raising Children, now they actually suggest a family media plan. You can jump on their website. I'll put all these links up that you can find at the end of this podcast. But I think that a family media plan is a great idea. And again, modeling what we don't want our kids to do. So if I don't want my kid to look at their phone an hour and a half before bed, then I'm not going to look at my phone an hour and a half before bed. Jump on and fill out the family media plan. The other two things that they suggest are child-friendly search engines and privacy settings with parental controls. So some of this stuff does cross over and cross into different things. Now, bullying, no way. They also have a whole stack of information about, you know, there's three different risks. So you can have content risks. So the things that are online can be a risk. Contact risks. You can be contacted by strangers and inappropriate ways and yada, yada, yada. And conduct risks, the way that your child conducts themselves on the online forums. Now, in no way am I saying I know everything. I've read this information. I'm putting this information up there to help you sort of come up with the way that you want to tackle internet safety. But I'm doing this because it's really important that we know what our kids are doing online. And if we don't know what our kids are doing online, we find out what they're doing online. And we find the best ways to protect our kids in this unprecedented environment that none of us have had, you know, to deal with or access to before. But you have to do what's right for your family. And what is right for your family isn't going to be right for the family next door or the family down the road. But you need to be aware of these different things. You need to model the correct behavior, not just online, but in person as well, because our kids do soak all of that up. And, you know, we need to make sure that kids understand that as much as we want to be able to say whatever we want to whoever we want in whatever way that we can, it's not, you know, we can't do that today. That's not the best way to deal with issues and deal with problems you might have, and that there are different ways to deal with those problems, and we need to equip our kids with those different ways. So I hope that all of my chitter chatter today, you've got something out of it. If nothing else, have a look at the Raising Children and the Family Media Plan. Give a go at filling it out. Let me know what else you want to know. What things do you need to know about to make sure that you're keeping your kids safe online, and make sure that we can all work together to keep them safe.